What Love Makes Right. This is a first-person reflection of an unidentified protagonist about an unmarried twin sister who has given birth to a baby. The writer marvels at how easily it could have been her. Is it based, however loosely, on actual events that Julie may have observed, no matter how remotely? Or is it an expression of some sort of duality in Julie's personality? Part 1. Growing up together. There she is, see over there on the mantle, my sister. She's my twin, would you believe it? Her senior picture is there by mine. Look at her eyes, those warm brown ones. That's the only physical trait we've always shared. Right now it seems as if she could speak to me. Kathy. Kathy. Get out of bed, it's morning, she would playfully scream at me. But, today, the room is empty and silent. Donna's gone. I missed her terribly at first. But let me start at the beginning. When we were very little girls, people could never tell us apart. We dressed alike, talked alike, even laughed alike. And we were always so very close. We shared everything, dolls, dresses, crayons. I remember how it was in school, especially when we played piano duets. We loved to constantly switch parts. Nobody ever knew who was playing what. Our family put us on a pedestal. We always went to the school parties, everyone missed us if we weren't there. It's hard to say when the change came creeping into our innocently beautiful and happy lives. I suppose the first thing was when our golden brown locks changed color. By some strange quirk of nature, Donna's hair took on a slightly auburn tinge, while my own gradually darkened to this deep umber hue you see I have now. Until about 8th grade, we had both been skinny little kids. Soon we both gained weight, but Donna did a bit more than I did. Suddenly she took a growth spurt, and most strangers thought she was my older sister. She was so full of life and vigor, while I sat most of the time buried in my books. Maybe it was good that our interests took different directions. The first year of high school divided us even further. Suddenly she grew very scientific. Electronics. Our music, however, seemed to be the one thing with which I was the happiest. Still, we had those long intimate talks that only sisters know. We shared the same mutual feelings and ideas as we always had. We seemed to understand each other so completely. Then we met Tom. As far as I could tell, he was an ordinary guy. He could have been the pastor's son, or a mechanic's boy, or even a well-disciplined orphan, any one of a number of the kind of guys who attended our high school. But to Donna he was different. From the very first, she never doubted him for a moment. I still remember how excited she was that night of her first date with him. Of course, I was just as eager to know exactly what happened. I was surprised and flattered that Donna confided in me. By this time, I had almost come to feel like a younger sister, which indeed I was, having been born 6 minutes after Donna. Yet Donna and I were still inseparable. And the more she told me about Tom, the more I liked him, too. Now, like our coloring books and arithmetic and piano playing, we shared Tom. Donna went on all the dates with him, but I did the scheming and planning and counseling. I felt I knew Tom as well as she did, after all, she told me everything. Life was exciting and adventurous. Then something strange happened in Donna. Tom began dating around. I thought it was only normal for a 16-year-old guy. But somehow Donna didn't feel that way. I tried to convince her that if she and Tom were really meant for each other, he'd come back to her. And he did, occasionally. That wasn't enough for her. I tried to get her to date around, too. My current was Pete, and I was having the ball of my life. Donna and I just didn't understand each other anymore. It hurt, slowly and intangibly. Even our common interests seemed to grow less and less. I was on a secretarial fling while Donna stayed buried in her chemistry, and brooded over Tom. But time proved that Donna might be right, and I had been wrong. Ironically, our physical appearance grew more alike as it once had been. We weighed exactly the same, had the same body measurements. Our hair, although slightly different shades, was very similar in style. Even our glasses were identical. And once more our personalities converged. I understood, as never before, how deeply Donna felt about Tom. In fact, I almost envied her. Tom went away to school, far enough away that he and Donna could only see each other once every several weeks. But it didn't seem to matter. They wrote frequently. "Tom and I are in love," she announced blissfully one day. "It's for real this time, Kathy." I believed her. She seemed to sparkle so. Tom was growing up. Every word he spoke, every kiss they shared, every letter he wrote, I knew it all so well. Donna shared her wildest dreams with me only, her sister. They had talked of the future, of their marriage, their ministry for God, together. It seemed as if no love could have been more perfect. I, too, looked forward to her greatest happiness. Part 2. Graduation. Soon we were lost in the whirl of our graduation. It was so beautiful, we both cried. But the excitement of college life soon caught us up. I remember those warm summer afternoons we spent window shopping for bedspreads and rugs and curtains and hoping that we would get a nice dormitory room. The college was immense, and all the people. There was registration, orientation, new classes, new teachers, new friends, and a third roommate. She was a lovely girl, Diana. She and Donna had so much in common. By now Donna had been taken by my previous secretarial ambitions while my major was going to be piano. Diana, too, was going to be a secretary. Besides, she was in love with Steve. I tried harder than ever to not interfere with Donna's life, only to help her if I could. But as the weeks passed, we became strangers again. Night after night Diana and Donna shared their shorthand and accounting and then shared their Steve and Tom. They did not include me in those intimate conversations. I was always supposed to be asleep in my bunk. But I wasn't a social wallflower. I dated, more than I ever had in my life. I was so thrilled with all of college life, from the most routine classwork to the exotic spring banquet. But, because I wasn't in love, I couldn't understand how it was, I heard them whisper once. For a while, I ignored it. Of course I understood my own twin sister. Of course I knew what it was like to be in love, Donna had told me. Then I listened more closely to their conversations, those Saturday nights when they didn't even seem to know I was around. Diana's ideas were so different from the ones Donna and I had always shared. I could see how Diana felt about men and love and marriage and children, yet I never could quite agree with her. And I didn't understand my very own sister, how she had changed. No, we never quarreled violently as we once had about Tom, not one disgruntled word. I dared not say a thing. I tried to blame Diana for the influence she was having on my sister. I tried to hide from myself what I knew deep inside, that it was Donna herself who was pushing me so rudely from her life. But, proud and naive, I only wondered and waited. Sex is a perfectly normal part of genuine love, I would hear in the wee morning hours as I lay still and listened to the two voices in my room. I soon gathered that Diana always went out with Steve on Saturday nights to a secluded little haven of their own. It was near the college, some place called Rainbow Rock. Soon Donna and Tom, when he came home, found one for themselves at Willow Creek. "I love him very much and have never loved another man, nor will ever love any other man like this. In God's sight, we do belong to each other." Donna and Diana both seemed so happy, so contented, so convinced that love, as they experienced it, was right. If we didn't love each other so completely, of course, it would be wrong. But we do love each other only, forever and ever, amen, and we both love God. This kind of love makes it right. One night, when even my curiosity was to the bursting point, Diana filled Donna in on the details of the most complete act of physical love. Even I listened intently, wondering and thinking. "Take it from me," Diana concluded, "never say you'll never do it. Because if you love him, you will." I thought very fleetingly of my own relationships with any of the fellows I had been dating. Not in my wildest imagination could I picture myself doing it. Nor could I picture it happening to Tom and Donna. I wanted desperately somehow to stop her before it was too late. Yet, how could I convince her she was wrong? Love makes it right. Summer came. Diana and Steve disappeared into memory. Tom came home. I had never seen my sister happier. Tom would be at the college the very next fall. Once again Donna and I seemed as close as we ever had been. She assured me that Diana's influence hadn't been bad, that her own love for Tom was her own choice. And I'm sure it was. I'll never forget that sultry September day, just 2 weeks before school was to begin, when Donna and I went downtown. She had put our biggest suitcase into the car. "Lock is broken," she told me. "Has to be repaired." We talked eagerly of the coming year back at college, at least I did. I didn't notice her strange quietness while we window shopped together as we always had done. Then we stopped at the bank. I supposed she was going to deposit her last paycheck in the small account that Mom and Dad had started for each of us when we were small children. How could I have known her account would be empty when she returned? Before I knew what was happening, Donna pulled the car up beside a large gray building. "Help me with the suitcase, will you, Kathy?" Her voice quivered slightly. Bewildered and amused, I reached for the empty luggage to find it heavy. She tugged on it, too, and we carried it inside. My head was spinning as I stood there speechless, watching her buy a bus ticket. Surely this was a joke of some sort. Some red-capped boy even came, put a tag on the suitcase, and carried it away. "It leaves in 5 minutes." She smiled weirdly. "Okay, sis, I give up. What are you up to?" I giggled. She sat down on the worn bench. "I'm just going up to Aunt Margaret's for a little while." Her voice was casually soft. "Aunt Margaret's." Funny, we had always taken our vacations together before. But school starts a week from Monday. Suddenly her solemn gaze froze my words in midair. She spoke slowly and deliberately. "I won't be going back to college with you this year, Kathy. I can't, I'm pregnant." I was stunned. I tried to laugh. "Oh, I see. Tom's going to meet you, and you'll have the wedding there, then." She shook her head slowly as her glassy eyes stared far past the big bus that was just pulling in. "There will not be any wedding, Kathy. Not now, not ever. Tom will be there at college this year. His parents want him to be a teacher, you know. But I also know you love each other." I protested. "Tom's a stranger to me. We don't love each other now. We haven't for a long time." Her voice was bitter. "All I've been to him is a sex partner." "Oh, Donna, don't say that." My voice was choked with emotion. "Why did it have to happen to you, my own sister?" Her sad eyes looked deep into my tear-filled ones. "It didn't have to happen." She placed a sympathizing hand on my trembling arm. "And it won't have to happen to you, Kathy. Love is good and right when it stays pure." But somehow, she bit her lip. "It didn't work for Tom and me. Oh, Kathy, don't ever do what I did." She squeezed my arm hard. "Don't ever do it." Part 3. Trying to understand. "Donna, how, you, my sister, why, was all I could say as the tears streamed down my face. Tom and Donna had planned so much. She had built her entire life and future around him. Now that was all over. Her whole world had collapsed. I couldn't believe it. In silence, we walked out to the bus. At last I could speak again. What are you going to do?" I whispered painfully. She shrugged. "Have an illegitimate baby, what else? It doesn't really matter anymore." She turned toward me with a tired smile. "Kathy, take up where I left off, and don't make my mistakes. We've been so close for so many years. But I'm leaving you now. It's got to be this way. Do you understand that, Kathy?" I swallowed hard. "Donna, my sister, why?" I sobbed. In that single moment, I seemed to remember all we had shared through the past 18 years, even Tom. I nodded reluctantly. She kissed my cheek just before she bounded up the stairs into the bus. Then turning sharply, she spoke the last words I ever heard her say. "By the way, if you ever see Diana and Steve again, give them my best regards." The sting in the sarcasm was too much. I fled to the car and lay there sobbing violently for a long while. That fateful day when Donna left was nearly a year ago. So much has happened since then. "Sure, they asked about Donna back at school. She's back east this year," I told them. "They didn't ask many questions, it's a big college, lots of people." I told her friends, our friends, enough to satisfy them. I guess no one else really knew how things had been between her and Tom, no one except Diana and Steve, and they hadn't been around for a long time. I tried my best to forget the hurt. I had a wonderful roommate, Linda, lively, full of fun, soon to be married. I knew Donna would have liked her, too. Yet, far into the year, memories of Donna and all she could have become haunted me day and night. Yes, Tom was there on campus. Not once did he even ask about Donna, even though he made it a point to speak to me every time he saw me. He must have known how much it hurt me just to see him and be reminded of what he had done to Donna. Early in the spring, just about when I thought the baby was almost due, I sent a small parcel of baby things. Within a week, I received a thank you note, the only time Donna has ever written, along with a picture of little Todd. It pained me deeply to see how much the infant resembled Tom's baby pictures. Yet, the child looked much like Donna, too, and like her twin sister. I marveled in sadness at how close we had been, and how easily it could have been me in Donna's place. And I breathed a silent prayer for us both. I tried so hard to not hate Tom. He sent her money once. But he never saw his own baby, never even wanted to. At home, I found all the things, letters, dried up flowers, empty candy box and perfume bottles, that Tom had ever given Donna. I wanted to burn everything. But I was Donna's faithful twin sister. Someday, somehow, wouldn't Donna come back? So I buried it all deep in the back of our closet. I did determine to not make the same mistakes Donna had. I determined to take up where she had left off. She was going to have a brilliant career, traveling, meeting people, eventually marrying and having a home. Yet, Donna had fallen in love. How can I ever love a man the way Donna did? Today I went to a wedding, Diana and Steve's. When she saw me, she mentioned in passing that she was so sorry to hear about little Todd, and wouldn't Donna and Tom get married, anyway? But she and Steve were so lost in their own inexpressible happiness. As I watched them leave the church arm in arm, I imagined for a fleeting moment that it could have been Donna and Tom. Things are so perfect for Diana and Steve. They have spent 5 years being in love. This, their wedding day, is the fulfillment of all their hopes. They have built their future around each other. They have shared their dreams from the beginning and now will always share them, forever and ever, amen. They had had a lot in common with Donna and Tom. They loved in the same way. They did the same sort of things. And somehow love had made it right for them. The silent bitterness crept up when I thought again of my own sister, so alone now, so forgotten by Tom, the father of her baby. Suddenly she seemed so far away, so divorced from my life. I don't know how long I must have stood there in the reception hall, watching the guests, gazing through all the joy and excitement, yet not really seeing anything at all. Then I found my arms around Diana. She was such a beautiful bride and so radiantly happy. I even squeezed Steve's hand. "Best regards," I whispered, and I meant it sincerely. "Kathy." Diana spoke my name the way she used to speak Donna's, she really had thought so much of her. "Do come and see us sometime," she invited. "And bring George." "George?" "Yes, George. I met him at school last year. We have had a beautiful friendship. It was the music we mutually love that drew us together. It seems no one can really understand my deepest feelings like George can. But Donna felt that way about Tom, too. And Diana feels this way about Steve. As far as I can tell, George is an ordinary guy. He could be the pastor's son, or a mechanic's boy, or even a well-disciplined orphan, any one of a number of the kind of guys who attend our school. How can I believe he's different? From the very first, I have doubted. George is a wonderful person, but so were Tom and Steve. And, like Tom and Steve, he is a man with all the capacity for living and loving, and hurting. What if I, a woman like Donna and Diana, respond to life itself? What if I, too, against all my pure and prudish intentions, fall in love with George? How can I, Donna's twin sister and Diana's friend, know what love makes right?